So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's really a great joy to be here back in Fintry, especially yesterday realizing that we have been able to be in the last cafe and now as well in the first cafe since lockdown. So it's great to see you all back here. We are also very thankful for your prayers, especially in the last time, for our family, for everything that's happening around us in Russia. For those people that don't know us, I see a few unfamiliar faces. We are Laurens and Jane Buist, it's my Dutch name. Buist, most Scottish name, Scottish people will say. We have been sent out through an organization, Operation Mobilization, to Russia, where we have served for 7.5 years. In various capacities. So the last time we stayed in the North Caucasus. But a lot of things have been changing while we were, while the war in with Russia in Ukraine started. And it's just for us personally, it's very sad to see what's happening. To see what's happening in Ukraine. To see also what's happening in Russia, with things more getting shut down and things. But yeah, we wanted to use this time a little bit to explain kind of why we have come back and what was happening around us. And Jane will share a little bit about the future, the nearby future, how that will look like for us. When the war started, kind of it came as a surprise and not totally as a surprise. Kind of course, like many wars, there's already lots of rumors going ahead of it. Kind of we were taking preparations because we knew that if a war is starting, kind of the finances will close down to get finances into Russia. So we were embracing for it and preparing for it. And first, when the war started, we thought, okay, well, we have enough reserve to sit here for another 3 months, up to half a year. We wouldn't have any problems. So that was our initial thought, I think much to our, to my mother-in-law's dislike, but that's just, yeah, we thought we will just keep going. And then the war broke out, and then the first thing is kind of, how does it look like now? And if we, we can stay here, it's fine, like kind of on the street, everything goes on like normal, people are going to school, people are going to the shops, but you get a bit more aware kind of you are as foreigners in the country. And as the time was progressing in a couple of days, kind of we realized that this is not just a war between Russia and Ukraine, kind of Western countries are just as much as involved as other countries, as Ukraine, kind of not only helping Ukraine kind of with humanitarian aid, but also with weapons and sanctions. And then kind of we also realized kind of what does this mean for our security position? Kind of people in the street can get angry with Western people because of the sanction. That's not out of the order. It has happened in Europe against Russians. So why would it not happen in Russia against foreigners over there? Second thing is kind of what will the Russian state do? First, they are going to crack down against the Russians that are openly and publicly against the war. But then they also look further, kind of, who is perceivably against the war, and they will research all the international people that are in Russia, kind of what is their position and what are they doing there. And that was actually at a point that we thought, oh, this is becoming too close to us. It will bring ourselves in a dangerous position, but also our team that is linked to us, because we have a lot of links through WhatsApp, through other digital channels, by visiting them. For our colleagues who are working within Operation Mobilization. So that was the point that we decided, no, kind of, we could sit and wait it out, but why wait on problems if you now still have the opportunity to go out? So the process of going out, kind of, I think you have heard a little bit about it in the newsletters, was a bit complicated. We first booked a flight, and the next day I discovered that the flight wasn't going anymore because the Russian airlines wouldn't fly out of the country anymore. Then we found out kind of, oh, quickly kind of plan B is going overland to Georgia, so that was plan B. We sent the stuff ahead of us in order to discover that there was snowfall in the mountains and the mountain pass was closed. So then plan C came into place, and we found another flight to Armenia. Meanwhile, our stuff was stuck in Georgia. That was a lot of a joy because the customs had decided that we had to pay customs fees over it. And they unpacked everything until the last piece of underwear, which needed to be listed. And luckily, after a couple of days, that was also released, so we could leave Armenia with all our stuff back to the Netherlands, where we 3 weeks ago arrived. So that was basically what was happening.
Good morning. So, yeah, now this next month we're basically treating like a normal furlough. So we're trying to catch up with friends and family, churches. We're having prayer meetings. There'll be one here. The week after Easter, we'll have an evening event, and that'll give us more opportunity to talk to you about what we observed in Russia, the changes that were taking place, what people there were thinking of and saying of the war. And yeah, just something of life there. And so we are better equipped to pray for them. I know there's been lots of prayer meetings for the Ukraine and what's happening in Ukraine, but it's also good to pray for the Russian people and what's happening there just now. Many of our contacts where we were living have got family and friends on both sides of the border. It's very mixed. They say it's like fighting your brother. That's a very sad thing to see and to be part of. So yeah, we want to take an opportunity to pray for that a bit more at some point. And also just to let you know what else our organization's doing. Like, we have left, but we still have many team members there, so it's good to pray for them, for what OM can continue to do, what ministry opportunities they still have in the coming time. So this month we're in Scotland, kind of traveling around, and then we're going back to the Netherlands. The last time we were on furlough was when Anton was born, and we got stranded here because we couldn't get him a visa because of the pandemic. So we went to the Netherlands and we found a farmhouse where people had converted their old barn, and they were using that as an apartment to rent out cheap rent to missionaries, and they wanted to support people like us. And that was amazing. So this time, when we knew we were coming back, we contacted those same people and asked, have you got space? Can we come and stay with you again? And at first they said, no, our son's living in the apartment. A week later, we heard from the son, and he said he felt very guilty living in a three-bedroom apartment all by himself. And if we have need of it, then he'll see what he can do. And the next we heard, he'd bought himself a static caravan. So he's going to park this caravan in the garden and move into there to free up the apartment for us, which is just lovely, like such generous people. So they said we can stay there for up to a year. So that gives us a place to settle. Josh can go back to the same school that he was in before and gives some continuity for him. And Vincent will also start going to that school. So hopefully that will give us time to process. Just now we're still kind of go, go, go. But at some point we need to stop and realise that we're not going back to Russia, to kind of grieve that a little bit, the people we're not going to see again. Lawrence is currently still involved with OM Russia. He's on the leadership team. He still has meetings with them. He's continuing his work to try and help them through the crisis. But for how long, we don't know. It's difficult to stay really involved when you're long-term out of the country. So probably that work will finish up at some point. We hope to be involved in ministry with refugees. There is a lot of refugees coming to the Netherlands, and in the area where we were staying, there's another couple who were also trying to get out to serve with OM Russia, and they have been stranded because they couldn't get visas. And in their church, they've started a new church plant for Ukrainian refugees, and it's a Russian-speaking service, because most Ukrainians speak Russian. For a lot of them, it's their first language, especially if they come from the East. And there's not very many people in the Netherlands who speak Russian. There's not many Ukrainians who can speak Dutch. So we've got a real unique opportunity there to help with their transition process as they settle in the Netherlands. And Lawrence was asked to preach the first week they had a church service. We had 15 adults come and about 8 children, and they ran a Sunday school for them with little video clips in Russian. And so we're hoping to be involved in that church plant to see how we can support refugees coming. So kind of practical ministry. Longer term, we don't know. Like, there is an opportunity for Lawrence to keep working within OM. They would like him to be kind of regional leader, and that requires kind of overseeing countries like Russia and Ukraine, Armenia, which other ones? Kind of Eastern Europe.
Romania, Moldavia.
They've asked him to kind of look after this area of the world, and especially with more finance coming into the organisation just now, specifically for the Ukraine, somebody needs to be there to direct that funding, get it to the right channels, to keep in touch with the people on the ground and find out how things are going, how to support them, which ministries to to set up or keep running or which need to stop. So that is an opportunity he's interested in. It would help him use his leadership skills and his language skills. But for us to stay long-term in OM, we need to keep living on support. And to live in the Netherlands on support is much more expensive than living in Russia on support. So yeah, that's a question. Can we raise enough support? Should we do that? Or is it time to leave OM and look for something else, for other jobs? So yeah, we really need wisdom. Just pray for wisdom for us as we kind of try and explore the next steps and figure out where life's taking us next. In November, we're expecting another baby. So that is one of the reasons why we've closed the door to Russia just now, because we're going to be stuck in the same position of having this new child who can't get a visa. And it's not fair on the children to keep waiting. Last time we were kind of praying that the virus would go away so they can return to Russia. Now we're praying that the war could finish so we can return to Russia. We thought it wasn't good to kind of keep doing that to them. So we're closing the door for returning to Russia just now. And yeah, we'll have the new baby and then figure out what's next after that. So yeah, pray for us in all this transition and changes. Pray for the boys as they start their new school. We want to sing a song for you. Josh and Vincent, you coming to join us? It's a song in Russian. And the first word is milost. What does milost mean?
It means
mercy. So it's the mercy of God is higher than the heavens, is wider than the fields, and is deeper than the sea. And then we sing the same kind of verse again with different words. So the second word is?
Radost, and it means happiness.
Okay, radost is happiness or joy, so higher than God's joy. It is higher than the heavens, wider than the fields, and deeper than the seas. And then the next one is slava, which is glory. So the glory of God is higher than the heavens. And the last one is?
Lubov,
which is love. So love is, God's love is higher than the heavens, wider than the fields, deeper than the seas. Yeah?
Милость твоя, вища неба, милость твоя, шиша поля, милость твоя, глубша моря, милость твоя. Радость твоя, вища неба, радость твоя, шиша поля, радость твоя, глубша моря, радость твоя. Слава твоя, вища неба, слава твоя, шиша поля, слава твоя, глубша моря, слава твоя. Любовь твоя, вища неба, любовь твоя, ширша поля, любовь твоя, глубша моря, любовь твоя.